the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
So what advice would you give to somebody who's new to podcasting or who maybe is just aspiring to one day start a podcast? What advice would you give them to get them started?
It's you have to get that infrastructure in place. You have to have an end result for yourself. Again, you don't want it to be a hobby. It needs to be a business. And so think of it like a business. Like, don't get too enamored in like, oh, for the sake of the content. Like, unless you're a trust fund, like uber rich person that can just like, you know, give hours and hours and hours of your like time and life away because that's, you have all this free time, totally fine, do that. But you need to have kind of the unsexy infrastructure like in place. I think there's a John Oliver bit where he's talking about the importance of infrastructure and why nobody wants to talk about it, and like actual infrastructure like in construction, and how it's gonna crumble cities because no one wants to talk about it. And that's what's gonna happen within content. No one wants to do this legwork because it is kind of boring, but you need to get that stuff in place before you launch anything.
This is the Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle. Broadcast talk in sound off mode.
Hi there, that's the voice of Justin Rondo, who works at digitalmarketer.com, and their website is full of great advice. I thought it would be fitting that we open with that, because there's a lot of questions people have about monetizing their podcast, and I tell those people that the answer is totally the same as your podcast strategy. You have to create it yourself and tailor it to what works for you. They're a podcast with very few downloads, and they are making money because they have a lot of engaged audience, and they have a client who's willing to pay to be in front of that engaged audience. Yes, it sounds simple, but it's not so simple. So today's episode, we're just going to call it Show Me the Money. Lots of podcast-related stuff on the Sound Off podcast today. Sean Carr is a Canadian who has relocated to Los Angeles. He started a company called Art19 that is looking for podcasters who are interested in partnering and making money. And I know there's a lot of broadcasters who are hoping to make a jump to podcasting, and this episode today is about making that possible. The Sound Off podcast is brought to you by Carta House Design and Stationery. What do you need printed today? Maybe you're starting a new business. Maybe you need a logo that doesn't look like it was done on Fiverr. You can get your new business card, some stationery, get all that done today. Also, letterhead, postcards, brochures, flyers, very useful when you go away to conventions. Go to cartahouse.com. That's Carta with a K, house.com.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle.
So more layoffs in Edmonton last week in a radio market that has seen close to $10 million disappear from it in the last 3 years. Calgary, similar story, and it really doesn't matter that radio dollars are in constant flux these days with a lot of new media out there. Any downturn like that is going to result in job losses and belt tightening. Totally unrelated, and this time down in the States. The Radio Advertising Bureau has announced that it won't be sharing any revenue numbers from this point forward, and that it's because everybody keeps reporting it as bad news. And secondly, the media that is now in competition with radio, they don't report any numbers whatsoever, so why should radio? Now, the best news I can offer to anyone who has woken up one morning to find out they didn't have a job, a microphone to broadcast into anymore, consider taking any severance you have and setting up a studio. It's not expensive, and practice your art. Do what you do every day and understand that the only thing different is that you're not going to be paid by the same people who were paying you last week. As much as program directors love their PowerPoints and their graphs, radio and audio and podcasting in this case, it's an art form. Painting pictures in people's minds, that's an art form. And by the way, Steve Jobs said that people who know what they're talking about, they don't need PowerPoint and they don't need graphs. Funny enough, I might have used a PowerPoint about 3 weeks ago. So next time I'll just learn to choose better words. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, the best advice I have received so far are from the people who said, just do it. Don't just think about it. Do it. There are lots of people who say that you need to have a great launch and you got to be in the new and noteworthy section of iTunes, and that's great, but in the end, if you have a great product, people are just going to find you. Now, Jeff Woods, who was a guest on this podcast, episode 2, episode 3, really early on, he made the new and noteworthy section of Apple iTunes, and he's doing great. He's closing in on close to 10,000 downloads. That's generally the point where a lot of people believe they can start to monetize their product, and he's going to have no problem doing that. And don't think that podcasting is any different than radio. Jessica Rhodes, who was a guest on our podcast last week, listen to what she says about monetizing podcasting and what you need to do.
Folks, the first rule to monetizing your podcast and actually having a good show is don't annoy your listeners. I can only speak for myself as a listener, but I love podcasts. I love podcasting and I love listening to podcasts. When I subscribe to a show, I'm listening to it every single week. And when I have my earbuds in and when I'm listening to it in my car stereo, there are two or three people there, myself, the host, and their guest. That's it. So when every single week that host is saying, please rate and review my podcast, please subscribe, I'm sitting there going, I did a year ago, and that's why I'm still listening to you. So I understand that there's a lot of other people listening and that the host wants to really encourage all the new listeners to subscribe, rate, and review. But you know what gets people to subscribe, rate, and review? A really good show. When I hear a really good show and when I really enjoy the content and it's funny and it's entertaining and it's informative, I subscribe because I don't want to miss out. I don't subscribe because the host told me to. So, if you want to get more downloads, focus on not annoying your listener. Focus on producing a really good show with compelling content that actually makes people want to subscribe because they actually want to listen to your show and they're not being told to do so. That is the first rule to monetizing. Don't be annoying. And hey, when you're not annoying and you have a really good show, sponsors are going to knock on your door and they're going to ask you to sponsor.
Sounds a lot like radio, doesn't it? That's from her video on monetizing a podcast. More at jessicarhodes.biz. There's a section up there called Roads to Success Podcast. Highly recommend you listen to it. The money is out there, and these aren't the same people who once bought radio. Some are, but there are tons of things you can do with a microphone to make money. Lots of things. For example, the Sound Off podcast is brought to you by Matt Kundle Voiceovers. Get one for your podcast or broadcast. Narrations, commercials, most scripts are turned around in under 24 hours because chances are good you don't need it now. You need it right now. Go to mattkundlevoice.com for more.
The Sound Off podcast with Matt Kundle.
Sean Carr is the owner of Art 19. He's a Canadian who has found his way to Los Angeles, and he and his partners are all about the business of podcast. And their company sees monetization as a challenge and measurement also as a challenge. But they're taking the necessary steps to rule the world.
I think we'll do the audio button.
Nobody likes video.
I'm in the podcasting business, not the TV business.
Sean Carr is the founder of Art 19. In short, these are the people who are at the forefront of monetizing podcasts. Is that fair to say?
I don't know that we're at the forefront. I think we'd like to say that we're certainly encouraging a paradigm shift in podcasting, which will, along with some other players in the space, help high-end podcasters start making more money.
Do you get the feeling that we're all at the forefront?
Well, I think there are a handful of shows who are actually doing a very good job at this stage of monetizing. The trick now is to expand the pool of revenue in the space so that not just the very high-end shows can see meaningful revenue. And that's where we come in.
So who are you taking from? If there's advertising dollars out there, does that come out of a form of digital? Does it come from radio? Who do you take from?
Well, that's a good question. And at this stage, there is no real clarity about who is buying, at least on the agency side. To this point, the vast majority of dollars, at least ad dollars, flowing into the space have come from direct response buyers. And that's because we've had a problem with measurement. Still, via RSS, all we really understand is that someone has downloaded a podcast, not that they've actually consumed it. And because DR buyers get performance data from their ads, people have to punch in codes and they can see exactly how effective they are. They've really been the ones who have spent the most money in the space. And the good news is that they keep coming back year after year and spending really terrific CPMs. So we know that the medium is effective for advertising. The trick in our minds is unlocking the agency dollars, the big brand dollars that constitute the vast majority of ad spend in general. And I think in order to do that, we really need to, first of all, improve the measurement in the space. And we need to begin telling a better story about why this is so effective as a medium.
You guys just had a big announcement just yesterday about measurement.
Yeah. So one of the things we're doing to address the measurement problem is introducing API connected listening. And in English, what that means is that we have a better technical method of communicating with quote unquote clients, which is to say apps that offer audio. And we allow them to send what we call listening telemetry back to us, which is information about when a user started, stopped, skipped, etc. And out of the gate, it's relegated to our customers, our partners that have large consumer ecosystems. In other words, large websites or apps that are generating traffic. But we're now also having great talks with a lot of third-party consumer apps. And I think it's our feeling that in the not-too-distant future, there will be a paradigm shift in podcasting, and listening telemetry will start getting fed back from lots of platforms, including the major players in the space right now. Now, this is distinct from user data, to be clear. It's not true necessarily that we're going to get a great deal of information about who's listening. And certainly, it's unlikely in the near future that we'll certainly from the big players get information about individual users. However, I think listening telemetry is less of a stretch, and we will start seeing a lot more of that. And what that means is that publishers can now start selling the agencies impressions rather than downloads. They can guarantee that when a brand buys advertising and podcasting, that ad will be heard.
So who buys podcasts on the agency side?
Well, it's a good question. And at this stage, there's not a lot of clarity about it. There are mobile buyers, there are digital buyers, there are radio buyers. And I know that the people selling ads and podcasting are talking to all of them. But at this stage, no one has really actually taken ownership of it as a medium yet. I think that will probably happen in the future. But right now, it's still kind of nascent. And I think that all of those various departments are getting their feet wet. But I think they're also waiting to see a little more traction before they go after it aggressively.
It's really tough to measure passion. And sometimes if you're going after impressions and you've got, let's say, 50,000 impressions on a podcast, would you say that sometimes just buying a podcast with 50 people who are highly passionate about a product can be equally as effective?
Sure. I mean, there are multiple factors in the value equation, if you will. And one of them is scale. Of course, you have to make it worth the advertiser's time. And if you just don't have enough volume, then it's probably not of interest. But in addition to scale, of course, targeting is really important. There are advertisers who want to reach a very specific person. And if you if you're able to offer that, perhaps in podcasting, because your content is very specific, that has tremendous value. So we see shows that don't necessarily have great scale, but have very valuable listenership for a particular advertiser. And because of that, they command terrific CPMs. I mean, I wouldn't say it's the norm, but we have seen CPMs as high as $50 or even $100 in some podcasts.
What do you look for in a podcast or a podcast network before Art19 will go and partner with them?
Well, we're sort of agnostic in that regard. It's not our job to do sales. To be clear, we are a technology company. We're a SaaS company. We provide publishers and their partners with the tools to host, distribute, and inject ads in their content. It's not our job to go out and sell those ads. However, our tools are more enterprise than the average consumer hosting platform out there, and because of that, they're more expensive. And so it's more about whether our system is cost-effective for a podcaster. So some of the smaller shows who aren't really generating revenue yet are probably better suited on a smaller platform because they just simply aren't going to avail themselves of all the tools that our system offers. But once you reach a certain threshold, And again, that's less about scale and more about monetization than having these advanced tools for measurement, for targeting, for ad insertion and replacement become very valuable and pay for themselves. So we're happy to work with anyone, but I think that there are certainly shows that see more benefit from our tools than others.
So I have some audio I want to play from Peter Anthony Holder, a longtime evening talk show host at CJAD in Montreal. He's got a podcast now called The Stuff File. And let's just hear that audio right now.
I have a show that has a large audience, but I haven't been able to find a way to monetize it. And part of the problem is that the audience is so fragmented, not just in geographical location, but platforms in which the show is on. I can claim about 60,000 listeners a week, but they're literally scattered over platforms that it's hard to quantify.
What would you suggest for someone like him and where he should take his show?
It's hard to say without knowing exactly what his podcast numbers are. And it's also hard to know without knowing if his audience is specifically Canadian or whether it's international. But certainly those numbers in the U.S. would command advertising interest. And most of the advertising in the U.S. now is still national advertising. And I've got to believe that if there isn't a market for that in Canada, there soon will be. We know that Canadians are listening to podcasting. In fact, we see a very significant percentage of our U.S. shows getting a large Canadian listenership. So I have to believe that once the ad market matures in Canada, that he should be able to start monetizing that content. I don't know. I mean, we're now just beginning to take a look at Canada to see what the market is or what it's going or how we can help it blossom. But the question is, can people start selling podcasts independently, or would he be better suited having his podcast audience be an add-on to his radio buys? That I can't speak to yet because we really are just beginning to have those conversations.
And I think a lot of podcasters are having those conversations with themselves. At what point do they take that step and move on to another company and another hosting platform and move their advertising to another level?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that different publishers have different approaches. I think that big media companies that aren't necessarily pressed for cash tend to want the enterprise tools out of the gate because they help them go and sell. So we find a lot of media companies that are getting into podcasting using us out of the gate, even though their show may not have gotten any traction yet. Grassroots podcasters tend not to have the resources to do that. So they tend to build an audience first. And then as advertising interest grows, they switch to a platform that enables them to first of all, get better analytics for the purpose of selling their content, but also tools that enable them to unlock inventory, back catalog inventory, for example, or enable them to target, which also gives them more flexibility in terms of what they can sell. So again, I don't really have a specific number where that makes sense. It really depends on the show. I mean, we're not prohibitively expensive, but you know, we're not a $10 a month platform.
You are Canadian, you're a Montreal boy, and then you found your way to Los Angeles and you've got an affinity for podcasting. How'd that journey happen?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I moved to LA about 20 years ago to pursue a career in film and television, actually. And about 5 years ago, I worked in that world for about 15 years. And about 5 years ago, my friend Matt Belknap was talking to me about problems he was experiencing in podcasting. I actually knew very little about the space, but what interested me about his story was that he was creating content and going directly to the consumer with it. In my world, the problems were about too many people in the middle, too much infrastructure, too much money last in, first out. I mean, between the consumer and the content creator, there were 100 layers, and it made it very difficult to make money as a content creator in the world of film and television. On the podcasting side, the reverse problem existed. You had a bunch of, or I should say, an increasing number of really high-end content creators who were reaching large audiences, in some cases millions of downloads a month. That's what Matt was doing at that point even. And because there was no infrastructure, because there was no one in the middle, he was actually unable to make real money doing it. He needed someone to bring the tools to the space to do advertising, to do ad sales, to provide the technology to support it, to provide the technology to create paywalls if he wanted to sell a premium plan. And so that's when my interest in podcasting started. It really, I must admit, came more from a business angle than from a creative angle. I've, of course, since fallen in love with podcasting. But we essentially set out to solve the problems Matt was experiencing, as well as the problems that his cohorts in the LA comedy scene were having, who were really doing terrific volume, but not quite at that stage making money off of it.
Do you see people like Kevin Smith who get up at the podcast movement and they say things like, and he's got, you know, he's at the front of podcasting, yet he admits that he makes no money doing it. Do you wonder sometimes if we're all going to get rich doing this, or are we all just going to get by?
Well, I actually think there's a real opportunity here. And to be fair, we know Smodco, we know Kevin Smith. Matt Myra is one of our on our content team. He co-hosts a show with Kevin, and they do substantial volume and are monetizing to some extent. Now, relative to what Kevin makes in film, I'm sure that those dollars don't really move the needle for him. But I think that if he chose to, they could really increase their revenue. And I think in the near future, you will actually see them starting to do that. But, you know, there's also a creative question there, too. You know, a lot of podcasters are reluctant to certainly saturate their content with ads. They certainly don't want it to begin to feel like commercial broadcast radio. And so there's a push and pull. And I think that certainly for content creators who aren't required to monetize it because it's not their only source of revenue, you will see more reluctance. But not everyone is fortunate enough to be in that position. And I think that from shows that really require it in order to make a living and continue pursuing it, you're really going to see a push and an increase in revenue.
There are a lot of Canadians who are listening to this. They have a podcast. What should they consider when they look at your website and contacting you?
Well, at this stage, we're really trying to learn about the Canadian market. So we're happy to talk to anyone. By all means, reach out, even if you just want to have a discussion, and we can help figure out whether it makes sense to use us or not. And perhaps if it's not now, it's in the future. And at this stage, we're very much in discovery mode, if you will, about the Canadian market. And we're hoping to find partners up there who can help us build it. So anyone should feel free to reach out.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thanks for taking the time to be with us on the Sound Off podcast today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Matt.
If you're going to listen to a podcast, do it with the Sound Off.
The American election is well underway, and it's safe to say that the best candidate did not win on the Republican side, and maybe even on the Democratic side as well. Seems that the candidate with the most face time on TV and got the most attention from CNN and Fox are the ones who walked away with the victory. Definitely the case with Donald Trump. And when you think about it, it has a certain Howard Stern feel when he was on WNBC back in the 1980s.
The average radio listener listens for 18 minutes. Mm-hmm. The average Howard Stern fan listens for, are you ready for this? Okay. An hour and 20 minutes.
How can that be?
Answer most commonly given, I want to see what he'll say next.
All right, okay. Fine, but what about the people who hate Stern?
Good point. The average Stern hater listens for 2.5 hours a day.
Look, but if they hate him, why do they listen?
Most common answer, I want to see what he'll say next.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle.
Amy Goodman is the host and executive producer of Democracy Now! She kind of nails it in this piece I'm about to play for you. And it leaves you asking, if we are so much more technologically advanced in media, why are we so much worse off?
Whether it's Fox or MSNBC or CNN, you often can't tell the difference. You're flipping from one channel to another, and they're all Trump all the time. It's Trumpland. I see the media as a huge kitchen table that stretches across the globe, that we all sit around and debate and discuss the most important issues of the day: war and peace, life and death, and anything less than that is a disservice to a democratic society. It is critical in an election year to hear how policies affect people on the ground. Not to get the pundits, but to get the people themselves. They're bringing you the pundits, and this is true on all the networks, the pundits, who know so little about so much, explaining the world to us and getting it so wrong. The media manufactures consent for war, for candidates in elections, by bringing you more, for example, of one person, like Donald Trump. He is pumped into everyone's home. He can just stay in a gold-gilded mansion in New York or one of them in Florida. The rest of the candidates trudge from one state to another. Why does he get this unfiltered pipeline into everyone's brain, into your eyes, into your consciousness? It matters. The Tyndall Center did a report in 2015. They looked at the whole year. They found Donald Trump got 23 times the coverage of, say, Bernie Sanders. They found ABC World News Tonight did something like 81 minutes on Donald Trump, and I think they gave Bernie Sanders 20 seconds. Bernie Sanders is breaking every record. It's the only reason he's getting any coverage right now. I mean, the media, he is shaming the media. In March, he raised something like $44 million. Hillary Clinton raised $29 million. $44 million. That hasn't been done before. You break every record, and there's a blip in the corporate media radar screen. It just shows how astounding it would be if he got anything near the coverage of the other candidates. Could you imagine where he would be right now? In this high-tech digital age, with high-definition television, digital radio, all we get is static. That veil of distortion and lies and misrepresentations and half-truths that obscure reality. When what we need the media to give us is the dictionary definition of static, criticism, opposition, unwanted interference. We need a media that covers power, not covers for power. We need a media that is the fourth estate, not for the state. And we need a media that covers the movements that create static and make history.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle.
Okay, finally something fun we're going to do, and hopefully we can do it every week. It's a new segment I've developed. It's called, yep, there's a podcast for that. And our producer, Evan, has come up with a snappy intro, and there's so many podcasts out there that the Sound Off Podcast, we're willing to offer up time to confirm that, yep, there's a podcast for that. So you don't need to use a search bar to go find what you're looking for, because we're just going to tell you what's really good out there.
And now, the Sound Off Podcast presents, yep, there's a podcast for that.
My name is Mac Pritchard, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. My show is called Find Your Dream Job. Every week, we share with our listeners actionable ideas they can use to get hired, have the career they want, and make a difference in life. We've been on the air since October of 2015, and we post new shows every Wednesday morning. I started the podcast because I run a job board that attracts more than 80,000 visitors a month. But many of our readers don't know how to look for work, except to respond to job postings they see online. Our podcast solves this problem. We share tools and tips and interview national experts. Our listeners get nuts and bolts advice about job hunting and career management. And there's a great need for a show like ours. Most high schools and colleges don't teach us how to look for work. Instead, we usually learn this skill by trial and error. My online business until now has been based almost entirely in my home state, and thanks to the podcast, I've built a national audience. More than 85% of our 12,000 monthly downloads come from outside of Oregon, our home state. If you'd like to subscribe to Find Your Dream Job, you can do so by visiting maxlist.org/iTunes, or visit our website, maxlist.org/podcast.
You're telling me that someone made a podcast about that?
Yeah, we were stunned too. With over 350,000 podcasts out there, yep, there's a podcast for that.
You know, and I've come to love that podcast over the last number of episodes. I've listened to four of them. They had one whole episode dedicated to LinkedIn. Now, there's a lot of things that you know when you listen to it, and then there are the things you don't know. And that's the problem with us. We think we know, we don't know. Because if we really knew, you know what we'd all be doing? We'd all be doing our dream job. And Mac wouldn't have to do this podcast, right? If you have a podcast and you'd like to be a part of this show and tell everybody about it, and it's unique, just send me an email, soundoff@mattkundle.com. The Sound Off podcast has been brought to you by Carta House. Visit them online at cartahouse.com. That's Carta with a K, house.com. And by the Podtrac survey, take the survey now at mattkundle.com. The show was produced by Evan Sierminski, masterfully. There's a whole bunch of audio in this show today. You can reach him at evanvoiceovers.com. And what else are we going to tell you here? Oh, yeah. Follow us wherever great social media is housed.
You've been listening to the Sound Off Podcast. Get updates on Twitter and Facebook. The home of the Sound Off Podcast, mattkundle.com. Do I have to spell it for you? Kundle. Rhymes with bundle.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C., as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, the Fountain app, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
It's said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid Podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid Podcast.